RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Hello listeners, welcome back to our English program over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Today's edition will bring you first our news, followed by Voi Green and News in Brief. We'll continue our segment with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. To conclude our program for today, we'll present to you our daily segment Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news, first the headlines. Indonesian President Joko Widodo focuses on national interest in tobacco control debate. LIPI and British Council Indonesia support Indonesian young researchers. LIPI encourages Indonesian students to concern on maritime research. Now the news in detail. Indonesian President Joko Widodo has told his ministers to keep Indonesia's national interests in mind as they decide whether to ratify a World Health Organization regulation to limit tobacco use. His comments came as he held a meeting to discuss WHO's Framework Convention on Tobacco Control at the Presidential Office Tuesday, June 14th. President Joko Widodo stated that the government has to consider the national interest, especially the citizens and future generations, but also have to consider the well-being of tobacco farmers and workers who live and depend on this industry. Ministers should find a balanced and comprehensive solution to the issue and weigh up the benefits for all parties. Indonesia has yet to ratify the FCTC, which was designed to control global tobacco production and protect future generations from the health, social, environmental, and economic effects of tobacco consumption. Based on the 2015 data from WHO, 180 countries have signed, ratified, and applied the FCTC, representing 90% of the world population. Indonesian Institute of Sciences LIPI cooperates with British Council Indonesia to mentor 56 research proposals from 3,203 registered proposals of both individual and team from various junior high schools and senior high schools in Indonesia. The students from 12 until 19 years old are participating in advanced review of mentor proposal of 48th Youth Science Competition at LIPI's building in Jakarta Tuesday. Director of Education and Society of British Council Indonesia, Teresa Burks, to RRI Voice of Indonesia said, British Council Indonesia is consistent in supporting Indonesian young researchers with financial aid for research. She said British Council will bring experts from United Kingdom to mentor the chosen finalists on 48th Youth Science Competition.
Through the Newton Fund, we're providing some financial support. The finalists are meeting with their mentors here at LIPI in Jakarta. That's something that we've been able to support this year and last year. Before that, the students never met with the mentors. Then we will also bring over some experts from the UK. They will become mentors as well. They will be judges, and they will help the students, but they will also help the teachers as well with some science teaching.
Teresa Burks further explained Indonesian Institute of Sciences LIPI and British Council Indonesia has been cooperating for the last 2 years in supporting scientific research of Indonesian young generations. she expected that the partnership could help Indonesian youth to improve their research. Head of Cooperation Bureau of Law and Public Affairs, Indonesian Institute of Sciences, LIPI, Nur Triaris, told media on the sidelines of an event of Guided Proposal Progress Review, the 48th Youth Research Competition 2016 at the Indonesian Institute of Sciences building, Jakarta, Tuesday, that LIPI wants Indonesian students to be more interested on marine research, especially those who live in the coastal region. According to Nurtri, their interest in the research should be started early.
Kita ingin membangkitkan siswa-siswi atau inisiatif dari karya siswa anak-anak itu kekayaan.
We want to encourage students, especially those living near the coastal area. The students' work becomes their wealth. That who has interest in marine field. At the university, there are so many courses in marine, so they have interest in maritime field and research, so that in the future they have to be ready.
Nur Triaris also said that LIPI considered the progress of the youth research and give them guidance to work in the scientific competition. Nur Triaris believed that young researchers can develop their knowledge, which are supported to become a reliable researcher, so that they will be able to become a driver of the nation's development. Chairman of the Investment Coordinating Board BKPM, Frankie Sivarani, has arrived in Qingdao, Shandong, China on Tuesday to tout Indonesia's investment prospect. It is part of the roadshow in 10 Chinese provinces. He said in a press release Tuesday, June 14, 2016, that the focus of the visit is to brief the investment policy reforms that have been carried out, particularly with regard to the changes to the DNI. The roadshow will be carried out in Qingdao, Shandong Province, Hangzhou, Zhejiang Province, and Shanghai. He explained the changes to the DNI list are aimed at reducing logistic costs, increasing drug production, developing digital economy, stimulating retail business, supporting renewable energy, developing film industry, building skills, and boosting tourism industry. Those aims are expected to attract Chinese investors to invest in Indonesia. BKPM data shows that in the first quarter of 2016, Chinese investment realization reached $464 million, which comprised of 339 projects and absorbed 10,167 workers. China is in first place of the investment list behind Singapore, Japan, and Hong Kong. This news comes to you from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. The Indonesian government is targeting to withdraw 16,500 child laborers in 2016 to support the Keluarga Harapan program in 138 districts or cities in 24 Indonesian provinces, Manpower Minister Hanif Dakiri said on Tuesday. According to Minister Dakiri, cooperation from relevant stakeholders is needed to carry out the child labor withdrawal program smoothly. These stakeholders include the Ministry of Education and Culture, the Ministry of Social Affairs, the Ministry of Religious Affairs, local governments, non-governmental organizations, the International Labor Organization, ILO, the United Workers of Workers and Employers Association. And the ministry also stated that June 2016 was being observed as the Campaign Against Child Labor Month and was targeting working children and school dropouts who come from very poor households. These children fall in the age bracket of 7 to 15 years. The program is expected to protect children lest they slip into the dangerous underbelly and fall prey to slavery, prostitution, pornography, gambling, or drugs. Indonesian President Joko Widodo has instructed his ministers to evaluate Sorong's claim for a special economic region status during a meeting at the presidential office in Jakarta Tuesday, June 14th. Jokowi said ministers must evaluate all the elements required for the West Papuan city to be given the special standing. The president stressed the government must forge ahead with development in Papua and West Papua, Indonesia's two easternmost provinces. President Joko Widodo stated that it is not enough to build roads, bridges, airport, and ports. The government has to open up the area for industrial zones and economic centers. The president warned related ministers to address all institutional issues before Sorong Special Economic Region status is confirmed. The last item. The tourism ministry is aiming to achieve a target of 13.5 million foreign tourist arrivals next year, with the development and promotion of 10 priority tourist destinations. Tourism Minister Arif Yahya said the government would next year focus on boosting the promotion of the priority destinations, which are Lake Toba, Belitung, Tanjung Lesung, Thousand Islands, Borobudur Temple, Mount Bromo, Mandalika, Komodo Island, Wakatobi National Park, and Morotai. According to Arif, in 2017, his ministry will receive a budget allocation of 4.08 trillion rupiah, of which 2.75 trillion rupiah will be used to promote tourism overseas. The government has allocated 100 trillion rupiah for the development of infrastructure and basic facilities in the destinations. Minister Arif Yahya said earlier that Indonesia needed an additional 120,000 hotel rooms, 15,000 restaurants, 100 recreational parks, 100 diving operators, 100 mariners, and 100 special economic zones. To end the news, here are the headlines once again. Indonesian President Joko Widodo focuses on national interest in tobacco control debate. Indonesian Institute of Sciences, LIPI, and British Council Indonesia support Indonesian young researchers. LIPI encourages Indonesian students to concern on maritime research. That was the news.
Hello, listener. Welcome back to commentary for today, entitling Attacks in Orlando. The world cannot forget the last few months' armed attacks in Brussels, Paris, Ankara, and even Jakarta, which resulted in fatalities. Monday, June 13, we were all shocked by the shooting attack carried out single-handedly by a man against a gay nightclub in Orlando, in the state of Florida, United States. No less than 50 people were killed in the attack. The attacker, who was later identified as Omar Mateen, was suspected as a member of ISIS. But the U.S. President Barack Obama in Washington, after meeting security advisor, denied the deadly attack as controlled by ISIS. Obama calls on Americans to maintain unity, while ISIS, in a radio broadcasting, has claimed responsibility for the tragedy and called the shooting was carried out by one of its soldiers. The reaction of the two candidates of U.S. presidential elections are different. As if to justify his theory of Islam, candidate Donald Trump called to closely monitor Muslim communities and places of worship. Hillary Clinton, on the other hand, asked the Americans not to blame each other and not to make the attack an excuse to hate followers of a particular religion. Yet Hillary still chose firm steps to prevent similar action and more control over cyberspace. The brutal attacks provoke reactions from various parties like the British Queen and Prime Minister, also the French President and the Prime Minister of Belgium, two countries that not long ago also suffered some attacks. Plus, from the President of Afghanistan and the President of Russia, who issued a statement condemning the attack in Orlando and expressed sympathy to the victims. With so many victims, this action falls into the category of mass shootings, which means a murder with a firearm that killed four people or more. In the United States, between 1966 through 2012, there were 90 mass shootings. A criminal science professor, Adam Langford, said, "The incident in the US could happen in a crowd, such as nightclubs, schools, workplaces, theaters, etc., while in other countries generally occurred near a military installation." According to Langford, frequent attacks in the United States, mostly because the perpetrators have psychiatric disorders, despite the fact that this is not too closely related. Other experts have suggested the existence of a contagious phenomenon, and more aggravatingly, possession of firearms in the US is not as difficult as in other countries. There are now more firearms owned by individuals in the United States than in other countries, with the possibility of every American has at least one piece of firearms. Indeed, we do not expect anything like this to happen again. This should be a lesson for the United States to not easily give permission to own firearms. That was commentary. I'm Nuga Kusumawati.
Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Listener, welcome back to Today in History. We start from the first historical event, the Indonesian Thomas Cup team victory, for the first time on June 15, 1958. The victory of Indonesian Thomas Cup team, which firstly took place on June 15, 1958 in Singapore. The first Thomas Cup team consisted of Ferry Sonafil, Tan Yu Hock, Eddie Joseph, Tan King Guan, and Nyo Kim Bee. The event opened the eyes of the Indonesian people that the Indonesian badminton can speak in the international arena. Since then, the Indonesian badminton thrived and always be a champion in the race for various international trophies such as the All England, Uber Cup, and so on. On June 15, 1979, the signing of SALT II Agreement of the United States-Soviet Union. On June 15, 1979, the SALT II Agreements, which limit the production and storage of nuclear weapons, was signed by the Soviet President Leonid Brezhnev and the US President Jimmy Carter. Earlier, in 1972, the two superpowers had signed the SALT I Agreement, containing an agreement to reduce the number of nuclear weapons. But the two countries have never committed to the agreements they made. Moreover, the United States, which until now remain adamant to work on the anti-ballistic missile defense after previously withdrawing from the anti-ballistic missile deal, the beginning is to match the capabilities of the Russian missile. On June 15, 2011, the ASEAN Dengue Day. The commemoration of the ASEAN Dengue Day was firstly held at the National Museum, Jakarta, on June 15, 2011. Dengue is everybody's business was the slogan launched at that time. The declaration against dengue was agreed by 11 ASEAN countries. The essence of the deal mentioned that dengue fever is one of the priority communicable diseases. This document was a milestone for the next year. The ASEAN Dengue Day was held in Myanmar, which produced Myanmar Call for Action, which supports the Jakarta Declaration and invites all parties to continue to fight against dengue. Listener, that was Today in History.
Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
Hello listener, welcome to Voy Green. Today we'll talk about animal reintroduction in the framework of the International Environmental Fair. In the framework of the International Environment Week and the 20th Environment Week and Forestry 2016, Taman Safari Indonesia and the Ministry of Environment and Forestry last Saturday, June 11th, released 40 white-tailed starling or Sturnus melanopetrus in the Giraffe area, Cisarua District, Bogor, West Java. This activity is aimed to restore and increase the population of white-winged starling in nature, which become the bird endemic to Indonesia on the island of Java, Bali, and part of West Nusa Tenggara. This activity was carried out in collaboration with environmental organizations, Kolan Zoo, Animal Nature Conservation Foundation Indonesia, Burung Indonesia Foundation, and nearby residents. Minister of Environment and Forestry Siti Nurbaya Bakar, who attended the event, said it welcomed the activities that had previously been conducted by the ministry last year by releasing 22 white-tailed starling in Papua. Minister Siti on the occasion highlighted the rise of the race birds. She plans to direct the birds competition, which is participated only by the birds coming from captivity. White starling, including protected animals in accordance with Government Regulation No. 7 of 1999 concerning preservation of plants and animals and the Law No. 5, 1994. In these activities, Minister Siti Nurbaya also submitted several animals such as orangutans, parrots, and tigers to the conservation institution for treatment. The release of endemic birds is also conducted by Environment Agency Sorong, West Papua, last Sunday, June 12. Various species of birds were originally going to smuggled out of Papua, but was foiled by Environment Agency. Meanwhile, in Luang Village, Nagawutun District, East Nusa Tenggara Province, the Ministry of Maritime Affairs and Fisheries, Susi Pujiastuti, on Saturday, released 200 baby sea turtles. Minister Siti Nurbaya closed the 20th Week of Environment and Forestry 2016 at the Jakarta Convention Center Sunday, June 12. With the theme, Save the Wild Plants and Animals for Life, this activity is aligned with the international themes set by the United Nations Environment Programme, UNEP, Go Wild for Life. And listener, that was Voy Green.
Listener, welcome to News in Brief. Indonesian President Joko Widodo has told his ministers to keep Indonesia's national interests in mind as they decide whether to ratify World Health Organization regulation to limit tobacco use. His comments came as he held a meeting to discuss WHO's Framework Convention on Tobacco Control at the presidential office on Tuesday, June 14th. Indonesian Institute of Sciences LIPI cooperates with British Council Indonesia to mentor 56 research proposals from 3,203 registered proposals of both individual and team from various junior high schools and senior high schools in Indonesia. Head of Cooperation Bureau of Law and Public Affairs, Indonesian Institute of Sciences LIPI, Nur Tri Aris, told media on the sidelines of an event of Guided Proposal Progress Review, the 48th Youth Research Competition 2016 at the Indonesian Institute of Sciences LIPI Building, Jakarta, that LIPI wants Indonesian students to be more interested on marine research, especially those who live in the coastal region. Chairman of the Investment Coordinating Board, Frankie Sibarani, has arrived in Qingdao, Shandong, China on Tuesday to tout Indonesia's investment prospect. It is part of a roadshow in 10 Chinese provinces. The Indonesian government is targeting to withdraw 16,500 child laborers in 2016 to support the Keluarga Harapan program in 138 districts or cities in 24 Indonesian provinces, Manpower Minister Hanif Dakiri said. According to Minister Dakiri, cooperation from relevant stakeholders is needed to carry out the child labor withdrawal program smoothly. Indonesian President Joko Widodo has instructed his ministers to evaluate Sorong's claim for a special economic region status during a meeting at the presidential office in Jakarta Tuesday. The tourism ministry is aiming to achieve a target of 13.5 million foreign tourist arrivals next year with the development and promotion of 10 priority tourist destinations. Tourism Minister Arif Yahya said the government would next year focus on boosting the promotion of the priority destinations, which are Lake Toba, Belitung, Tanjung Lesung, Thousand Islands, Borobudur Temple, Mount Bromo, Mandalika, Komodo Island, Wakatobi National Park, and Morotai. Listener, that was news in brief.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listeners, it is a pleasure to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary arts and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we'll introduce you to Betawi typical food. Stay tuned. Listeners, Indonesia is a country which is well known with herbs and spices. Indonesian people use herbs and spices as ingredients. No wonder, Indonesian typical food is rich of tastes. One of them is babanji vegetable, a Betawi typical food. This food uses herbs and spices. Listeners, there are two types of babanji vegetable. The first one does not use vegetable at all. When it is served, there is no vegetable, but it is like curry. Because of that, it is named babanji vegetable. The second type comes from local people. People say that in the past, babanji vegetable was made by Chinese people. The name of babanji comes from word of baba and chichi. In visibility, babanji vegetable is like soto and curry. Soto is a traditional Indonesian soup. Its sauce is yellow and dominates white and green color. Babanji's vegetable contains of petai or parkia speciosa, cow meat, and etc. Using coconut in babanji is very dominant, beginning from its sauce. It uses young coconut water and coconut milk. In other words, all parts of coconut are used in making babanji vegetable. Mm-hmm. Babanji festival is usually served by Betawi people in the month of Ramadan, Eid al-Fitr and Eid al-Adha. The taste, which is rich of herbs and spices, makes food as if entering all spicy in it. The vegetable is made from 21 ingredients and 50% of those ingredients are difficult to be found. So this food is threatened to be extinct. In Jakarta, there are fewer people who sell this food. But you do not have to worry. If you want to taste the food, please come to Kota Tua area where there is a restaurant which provides Babanji vegetable. So if you are in Jakarta, please do not forget to stop at Kota Tua to taste Babanji vegetable. That was Indonesian Wonder for today. We meet again tomorrow with another topic. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
Speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly. We present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Hello listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a segment which invites you to learn Bahasa Indonesia. Today we feature a topic entitled Menjenguk Teman di Rumah Sakit, which in English means visiting a friend at the hospital. Stay tuned. As usual, I will introduce you to the vocabulary and expressions that relate to today's topic of conversation. I'll say the sentence twice loudly, and you can repeat after me. Apa kabar? Apa kabar? Which means, how are you? Kamu bagaimana? Kamu bagaimana? Which means, how about you? Baik. Baik, which means, fine or good. Ke rumah sakit. Ke rumah sakit, which means to the hospital. Menjenguk. Menjenguk, which means to visit. Teman. Teman, which means friend. Melahirkan. Melahirkan, which means to give birth. Bayi laki-laki. Bayi laki-laki, which means baby boy. Bayi perempuan. Bayi perempuan, which means baby girl. Anak pertama. Anak pertama, which means the first child or the elder. Kalau begitu. Kalau begitu, which means so. Saya pergi dulu. Saya pergi dulu, which means I'm going. Sampai ketemu nanti. Sampai ketemu nanti, which means see you then. Now, we give you an example of conversation entitled Menjenguk Teman di Rumah Sakit, or in English means visiting a friend at the hospital. The conversation is between A. Nita and B. Lucy. A. Nita. Hi Lucy, apa kabar? Hi Lucy, apa kabar? Which means, hi Lucy, how are you? B. Lucy. Baik. Bagaimana dengan kamu? Baik, bagaimana dengan kamu? Which means, I'm fine. And how about you? A. Nita. Baik, Lucy. Kamu mau pergi kemana? Baik, Lucy. Kamu mau pergi kemana? Which means, I'm also fine. Where are you going?
B. Lucy. Ke rumah sakit Bunda, menjenguk teman yang melahirkan. Ke rumah sakit Bunda, menjenguk teman yang melahirkan, which means I'm going to Bunda Hospital to visit a friend who gave birth.
A. Nita. Melahirkan bayi laki-laki atau perempuan? Melahirkan bayi laki-laki atau perempuan, which means she gives birth a baby boy or baby girl.
B. Lucy. Bayi perempuan, anak pertama. Bayi perempuan, anak pertama,
which means a baby girl, the first child.
A. Nita. Baiklah, kalau begitu, saya pergi dulu.
Baiklah, kalau begitu, saya pergi dulu, which means all right, so I have to go.
B. Lucy. Oh ya, sampai ketemu nanti.
Oh ya, sampai ketemu nanti, which means okay, see you then.
That was today's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. Hopefully, it can be useful for those who want to know more about Bahasa Indonesia. We'll see you again with a different topics. Thanks for your attention. See you and sampai jumpa.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back to the regular segment of Music Corner, which introduces you to Indonesian music, both traditional and modern ones. In today's edition, we will introduce an Indonesian pop singer, Ramona Purba. Well, listener, let's listen to the first song entitled Terlena. Happy listening.
city.
Listener, limitation often become the reason or obstacle for those who are born with physical imperfect to reach their future goals or achieve their dreams. It is different with Ramona Purba. The limitation can instead develop the spirit to reach the idol to become a famous singer. Ramona Purba is also called Stevie Wonder of Indonesia in the country's pop music world. Indeed, with imperfect eyesight condition, Ramona Purba, the origin of Medan or Sumatra, can prove himself to be able to lift his popularity as a singer through the quality works. He started his career from the band vocalist as the first step to come to his singing career, Ramona then showing his music talent. From the band vocalist, then he tried for a solo career. Ramona then released the first album that accepted well in the market. Well, listener, let's listen to the next song entitled Jalan Jalan Sore by Ramona Purba. Happy listening. Listener Ramona Purba's talent has firstly seen since he was a child. He not only has a good voice, but he can also play music instruments such as guitar and piano. For his conviction, Ramona Purba reaped satisfactory result. The success also became a motivation for the band to work. Ramona often made collaboration with other famous musicians in the country, and even each album mostly supported by a number of musicians. Well, listener, to conclude our segment for today, let's listen to the last song entitled Naluriku by Ramona Purba. Happy listening and enjoy the song.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Nikmat terasa naluriku berkata, ada cinta. Getaran, getaran seluruh tubuhku, api memerah setitik senyumku yang telah lama dilanda dahaga. Ku tak mampu dan tak mampu lagi menahan kegetaran ini. Semakin terasa cintaku kian menggebu. Batu hasratku untuk menciptakan suasana romansa bagi dirimu dan aku, kan menyatukan asmara bahagia. Mari, marilah kasih bersama kita menikmati dan ucap dan terbuka.
Republic of Indonesia's World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Presenting actual news, all Indonesian songs, current issues, and entertainment. Broadcasting daily from the fourth floor of RRS building on Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat number 4 and 5, Jakarta.
Listen live to www.voi.co.id.
tak mengerti bunga wangi hampa di genggaman gugur satu persatu luruh jatuh ke bumi hilang tersapu hembusan angin. Tiada yang mampu ku hindari kata apapun tak terucapkan bahkan saat kau pergi aku diam terpana tak percayakan jadi
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz. 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia RRI World Service Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat No. 4 and 5 Jakarta or P.O. Box 1157 Jakarta 10011 Indonesia and join us on Facebook Voice of Indonesia and Twitter VOI Indonesia.